gracious Father, eternal God, we are at your sacred desk right now, realizing that preaching can't take place until the Holy Spirit comes. Come, Holy Spirit, come, heavenly dove, come with thine quickening power. Kindle a flame of these cold hearts right now. Father, we ask that you would remove Chris and bring in your preacher, that preaching may take place. We ask that you would open our eyes that we may see, unstop our ears that we may hear your gospel and feel your presence. It is in the name of Jesus we do pray. And let us all say amen. Amen. We thank God for the invitation of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for this illustrious pastor here at Fort Clark that thought it not robbery to invite us into a revival where we will feel the presence of a living God. Amen. The scripture has been read into your hearing. And I just want to lift up for your consideration this subject. God will bless you with a dime. God will bless you with a dime. You better watch it there over there on that sideline there. This evening we are in a revival. Traditionally, we expect, our expectation is that the pastor will bring up a message that will set our souls on fire. We feel like that we are itching for a rhema word that will come from on high that will let us know that the Jesus that we love and the Jesus that we run behind, that in that futuristic point, we know that Jesus will save. Some of us in the revival think that the revival is a fundraiser. We traditionally have set aside this time that we would raise money for the church. Other of us looked at the revival as a time when folk will be saved. But when I look at the word revival, I see that the word means to revive. That means you have to have had something in order to revive. In other words, it had to be rekindled. That means that it died down and now it came back. Revival, revival. So we have all of these what I consider to be moments in time that we use to promote our revival. But I come to Fort Clark for a reason. I think this Pastor Robinson, I thank you for inviting me because you're giving me the opportunity to say something to you and your congregation. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Now, let me tell you why I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for receiving my wife when she came to preach. You were very generous towards us. And when somebody says thank you, you say you're welcome. Amen. But the reason why I want to say thank you is because of the fact that God put it on your heart to have my wife come untraditionally into the church and run a revival. And then come back and preach another program. I say thank you because that's very unusual in this setting. I want to say thank you because of the fact that out of your generosity, sometimes we forget where God has brought us from. And so we stop and we pause and we say, thank you. So Fort Clark, because of that, this message is tailored directly towards you of what God has in store for you. And those other churches that are here, if you take heed to the word of God, I promise you, you will receive the same bounty blessings that is prepared for 4 o'clock. As I contemplate on this message, God was speaking to me and God was sharing with me some things that should happen. And what happens to many of us that we miss out on great opportunities because we don't realize that God transcends and now it's time for us to talk about what we call a social gospel. We often talk about Jesus in a characteristic perspective. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes we need to talk about Jesus in the right now. Folk are going through some things. Y'all need to watch it now. I got to behave myself. We going through some stuff in our communities, and we going through some stuff in our churches. We going through some stuff on our job. We going through some stuff, and we don't know how to apply the principle that God has given us. We come in church Sunday after Sunday, and we say we love the Lord, but we often tip him. Oh, y'all watch it now. I want to get down into this message, but I got to behave myself because I realized that, you know, Pastor, I love you, Pastor. And I won't do nothing to harm you. And so what happens sometimes is that we call ourselves the church in every aspect, but when it comes time for giving, we seem to forget who is the giver. And so as God was dealing me with this text, this is not a traditional revival message. But I'm here to tell you that when we are obedient to God, God will revive us. And when he revives us, we will give better and we will do better and we will look a little better. The great opium of the church. I'm talking about the black church now. The great opium of the black church is that we have a misunderstanding of the scriptures. God put things crystal clear so that we would have a clear understanding. He starts out in the Old Testament and then he ended up in Malachi when he said, shall a man or woman rob God? You rob me with your tithes and offering. Now, I'm not talking about money right now, but I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about not giving, not your financial resource, but I'm talking about giving of yourself, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. So many of us lose we misunderstand God's word. So he says, shall a man or woman rob God? You rob me with your tithes and your offerings. He said, bring into the storehouse your tithes and offerings and see if I will open up the windows of heaven and then pour you out a blessing. And so we look at that text and say, okay, well, that's Old Testament. But before you get past that text, chapter 3, verse number 6 say, I am God and I change not. And so that lets us know that from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, God has not changed and will not change. But we have to change in order to see God. We have to change our mindset and we have to change our thought process. We got to be able to understand that God transcends because he realized that we can't take it. So the biblical text that was read for us, can I stand on this? So the biblical text that was read for us, it says that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, or we say generously, you reap generously. And so what God was trying to convey to us is that you can't beat him in the giving business. And so what we do sometimes is we curse ourselves in the church by saying, I'm broke, or the church is broke. And so what we do is we speak demise on not only ourselves, but the church. And so what God is trying to convey to us today is that I want to bless you with a dime. And I can do it. He said, give me a tenth. And he said, that's only the beginning. He said, I want to bless you with it. He said, but in order for you to receive the blessing, there's some things that you got to know. The first principle that God is trying to teach us is about sowing and reaping. Giving out seeds and passing seeds and sowing seeds. And if you sow a good seed, you reap a good harvest. But if you sow a bad seed, you reap a bad harvest. The scripture teaches us on a consistent basis that the fruit that we bear. And I'm not talking about the folk on the outside of the church, but I'm talking about us on the inside of the church. We got to be able to start bearing some good fruit so that the folk on the outside can see our good works. One of the problems we have is that I'm trying to behave. We sometimes call ourselves Christians and we raise hell all day long over nothing. The church is about growth. I once said, and I keep saying it, the church is a hospital. And there are well folk and sick folk. And you bring those sick folk in, and the well folk that's supposed to be in the church is supposed to get those folk healed. But if we got some sick folk in our church in leadership position, then the problem is that they will never get healed. And the church will always be sick. So what God is saying to us is that as we prepare ourselves, he said, reaping and sowing, those seeds that you got to reap, you got to sow them, you got to sow them, you got to reap them. God is trying to convey a serious message to us that the social gospel is all about those folk on the outside. And we ain't bringing nobody into our churches. For the most part, our churches are dying. And the reason why they're dying is because we are dying on the inside. And for the most part, some of us ain't never met the Lord. We may be holding some position, but we don't know the Lord. We know about him, but we have never met him. When was the last time in a revival that you just came down and said, Lord, you know my shortcomings, and you know my faults and my fallacies and my inadequacies, and you know all about me, and you know the condition of what I'm living in. Even though I show a lie on Sunday morning, you know that I am in trouble. Sometimes we got to open ourselves, even from the pulpit. Yeah. See, I talk about the preachers all the time. That's why I stay in trouble with preachers. Because of the fact that we are the worst ones. Yeah. We come here dressed up in our Louis suits, because I used to wear Louis suits back in the day. I used to drive a Mercedes-Benz and wear Stacy Adams shoes. And I thought I was a preacher then. I thought I was doing something. And it's all about image and not about God. It's all about, as long as you praise me, I'm going to preach a good sermon. I'm going to make y'all shout up in here. Yeah, I had them going today. And get that check and put it in my pocket. And at the end of the day, I don't have any relationship with the Creator. I'm playing in the church. I'm playing, and that's what we do. We play in the church. The great opium of the black community is the black church. And the great opium of the black church, sometimes it's the black preacher. Y'all don't like that kind of talk, but I'm here to tell you that sometimes these preachers are your worst enemies. Yeah. Not you now. y'all have to forgive. Y'all have to forgive me. You reap what you sow, y'all. Y'all reap what you sow. You sow a good seed, you reap a good harvest. One of the problems we have is that we don't want to reap no good harvest. And then we turn around and curse ourselves. We as a nation, we as a black nation, we as black people, sometimes we forget who we really are. You're not a slave, and you ain't never been a slave. It's just that you was in captivity. But if you go back to your roots and really shake the tree, you'll find out that you were kings and queens. And so what we have to do, we have to start walking like that. Huh? What's your father's name? I tell my people this all the time. The Bible says, when Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, the poor will be with you always. Yeah. Now, what does that mean? Some of us don't understand what that means, because we run around here talking about we poor. How are you going to be a Christian and be poor? I think sometimes, and this is getting y'all warmed up. I know y'all got some power-packed preachers coming in the next couple of days. They gonna clean this up, but I just got to mess it up. My job is to mess stuff up. And I'm going to, trust me, I do a very good job at messing stuff up. When y'all leave here, y'all going to say, that man done messed up, and we can't have church no more because he done told Reb something, he done told the deacon something, he done told us the trustee something. By God, we don't have a church, but I'm here to tell you that the Lord will bless you, because I got a blessing for you. I'm going to leave y'all a generous blessing. Listen to what the text says. He said, purpose in your heart, as it's purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or not out of necessity. And see, what happens is that when you love God, if you really love God, you will give God all. I'm talking about all of your money. I'm talking about, see, now a man has trouble when you say that. Reb, you good at talking about coming to church. I'm going to work in the church. But when Reb, you got talking about give all of my money. Reb, you done gone too far. And that lets us know that that's one of the barriers we have with God. It's because of the fact that we don't want to depart from our money and because of our mindset. Because our mind has been set that we ain't never had nothing. And now I got a little something. Now I want to hold on to what I got, but I'm here to tell you, your concept is all backwards. The God that I serve said that if I got 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills and I am his son, that means that I get the same inheritance that he's already disposed to everybody else. At the end of the day, I'm worth millions. Our mindset all messed up. So let me help somebody here. What I'm trying to get you to see is that everybody here, at least a millionaire, and possibly a billionaire. So the church should not look like a third world country. Your house and your community should not look like a third world country because of the fact that if you trust in the Lord, if you love God, then God will always provide for you because he said in his word, I'll never let my seed go begging for bread. Our problem is that we're not trusting the Lord enough to understand that no matter where you find yourself, God will always pick you up. Wherever you find yourself, he will always turn you around. Wherever you find yourself, he will make you a way out of no way. God that I serve, now I don't know about the God you serve, but the God that I serve will always provide for me. No matter where you find me. And see, I don't mind standing alone. These people around here tell you that man crazy. I stand in the fury of a whole denomination. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, but y'all get that later on. I stand in the fury of a whole denomination that will go contrary to God's word because they want to line their pockets. We're talking about wealth. Well, you want wealth? We can get wealth. God's principles already set there for wealth. He's very exact in his principle. So not out of compulsory or not out of what I consider to be grudgingly. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But this is the final point, and I want to leave y'all with this final point. It's all about sowing good seeds. See, one of the problems is that we don't know how to sow good seeds because in the church, we don't teach good sowing. We teach about a futuristic Jesus, but we don't never teach about good sowing right now and reaping a good harvest right now. You don't have to wait till you die to get your harvest. Let me help somebody here. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to see Jesus. You see him right. Let me tell y'all something.